In keeping with mission theme, kind of, today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And it's unfortunate that we have to have a day like that. But the nature of our nation at this time, the culture, it is important that we elevate life. I mean, God made man in his image, and man and woman. And every life is important, including the unborn. Since 1973, which was the date of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision, there's been over 60 million abortions in our nation. And it seems, especially living in California, it seems like we're losing that battle, but I want to tell you that we're not. Okay? Let me read just a small scripture. It's Psalm 8, just four verses. It says, Yahweh our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. Because of your adversaries, you have established praise from the mouths of children and nursing infants. Then he says a little further down, what is man that you remember him, the son of man, that you look after him? And, you know, God is aware of every person. And in the womb, that's a person. You know, it's not a lump of cells. It's, you know, it's not a wart that can just be removed. I mean, it is a soul. There's a soul there in the image of God. And, you know, my wife is the director of the Rose of Sharon, which is another ministry that this church supports. And it is an outreach as well as a service to pregnant ladies. And I'm on the board of that, and I also teach classes in that. And some others here have served there as well. And it's a frontline ministry. You know, there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on. But living in the state that we live in, it sometimes seems like it's just worse and worse and worse and worse. But I want to give you some stats. In the year 2000... there's groups out there that do surveys and do ratings and things like that, and there's like they have parameters, and they have a way of determining this by the laws that are on the books in each state. And so there are those that are hostile or very hostile towards abortion. Okay? So in other words, they're really against it. Then there's a level called just being hostile. Then there's a level called middle ground. Kind of like, you know, they don't really make a stand either way. Then there's some that are supportive of abortion. And then there are those that are very supportive of abortion. Okay? So in the year 2000, there was four states out of 50 that was hostile towards abortion. None that were very hostile, but four that were hostile towards abortion, meaning they were against it. There were 45 states that were considered middle ground. There was no states that were very supportive of abortion, but there was one state that was supportive. Care to guess which one that was? Ours. Okay, California. Now you go forward to 2019. There are seven states that are very hostile towards abortion now. There was none in 2000. There are 14 that are hostile towards abortion, up from four. So that's 21, from four to 21, okay, that are adamantly pursuing stopping abortion. In the middle ground, there is now 26 states instead of 45. So that number has dropped, which is good. Now, for the negative part, there are now two states that are supportive of abortion, and that's Oregon and Washington. And there's one state that is very supportive of abortion, and that is California. And so that's why sometimes we are skewed, you know, in thinking, wow, we're fighting a losing battle. Over the nation, it is gaining traction. And, you know, we need to pray for our state. I mean, obviously, our state is just off the deep end in a lot of areas, not just abortion. But over the nation, though, strides are being made, and that's something to rejoice. You know, and a lot of that has to do with the Christian community and people like us supporting places like the Rose of Sharon and other facilities across the nation in this regard. Some stats about women of reproductive age, which they consider, unfortunately, age 13 to age 44. And it's just, they had to draw a line somewhere and say, this is where the stats are going to come from. But in the year 2000, only 7% lived in an area where it was kind of hard to get an abortion. It was a hostile area towards abortion. 53 million lived in the middle ground area, and 8 million lived in the supportive area, which was California alone. Okay. Go forward to 2019, 43% of women that are in what they call the reproductive age, or 29 million women, now live in areas that it's hard to get an abortion. That's praise. 28 million, or about 41%, live in middle ground areas, and 16% live in the three states, the left coast, Washington, Oregon, and California. So what's nice is more women are now living in areas where it's more difficult. And so we have seen, and I don't know if you follow, I get different newsletters, of course, I keep up with it. Lots of places, there's states now that do not have an abortion facility at all in them now. And some are down to one, and some are down to two, you know, and that kind of thing. So take heart. You know, this it is a war. It's a spiritual war. You know, it's Satan. It's spiritual. He's for death, and God is for life. And we need to understand that. And you know, I wrote here, you know, do not despair. Don't believe what you hear on the news. The tide is turning. We don't hear it so much in this state because we got the most over the edge philosophies there is. Just trying to be nice. But, you know, but don't put your faith in the Supreme Court either. Okay, you know, so many times we're like, oh, if we just get another justice, or if we just get another, you know, listen, it's about people. And even if the Supreme Court, now hear me out, this is an area you can pray. Even if the Supreme Court totally wiped out Roe versus Wade, it would not stop abortion in our nation. You need to understand that. Because the states then can make their own laws. And that many of them, like this one, has already made laws saying, hey, if that goes down, we're still open for business. And so we need to understand that just because they turn it down, that'll just be nationally. There'll be no federal law supporting it, but the states can make their own laws. And so we need to understand that. And so be in prayer about that. The states can still approve abortion. But just remember, in the end, the Lord will have his way. The Lord will have his way in the end. Justice will be done. And that is our faith, and that is our confidence, is in what the Lord will do. And remember, the battle on this earth is not over. The battle's not over, but the victory is already won. Okay? Jesus won the victory 2,000 years ago. And yeah, the battle still rages. because it's a spiritual thing. And until the Lord comes and does away with all that, we're still in the battle. That's why we're called to go make disciples, whether it be in China or at the Rose of Sharon Life Center, where we have salvations every year there also, or wherever you may be, or wherever you're called to. It's about life, folks. You know, in Joshua, he says, you know, you need to choose life. Because the other way is death. Any other way than God's way is death. And don't take it lightly that you have salvation. Don't take it lightly that you can come here and read truth freely. And we don't, you know, the culture's kind of hostile towards us in some ways, but we can carry this book around all we want. And we can share it with anyone that'll listen. And we need to understand that it's not our freedom here. Yeah, there's a lot of things wrong, and there's a lot of stuff, and some of it's just so ridiculous. But we still have the ability to lift up the Lord to whoever we want to. And that's really why we're here. It's to share the gospel, share our testimonies with how God has worked in our life. And if someone's open, you know, if God's working on their heart and the ground is fertile, you give them the good news and they become a believer, they become a child of God. And that's why we're here. And we got to never lose sight of that. Sometimes we can get caught up in good things and political things, and I believe we are. You know, we've been privileged by God to live in a place where we can have impact politically. But that's not the end. That's not the goal. That's just a privilege we have, and I think we need to be a good steward of that privilege. But remember where your faith is. Your faith is in the Lord. You know, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You know, and it's easy to put your faith in, you know, and say, oh, if we get the right man or the right woman or the right Congress or the right court, you know, whatever, it'll be better. Well, it might be better for a time until the next batch is elected, you know. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And it's in Him I put my trust. And as long as we have the ability to speak, we should do so. You know, what did say, you know, even the rocks will cry. You know, if I don't speak, the rocks will cry out. You know, and in this verse, you know, you've established praise from the mouths of children and even nursing infants. Amazing verse. And so, all that to say, praise the Lord. The challenges are great, but the rewards are great too. And don't be weary in well-doing. And, you know, and there's a time you got to use wisdom, pull back, kind of gather yourself. Jesus got away several times. People pressed on Him, took energy from Him. When you're in ministry, it draws energy from you. You need to understand that. And when you engage in witnessing with someone, and anyone that has done that, and you're going back and forth, when you get done with that, whether you succeed or not, even if they end up praying and asking Jesus into their heart and all that, and man, you walk away from that, you are drained. Because it's a battle. And it's spiritual. And it draws off the physical. And so, you know, if Jesus had to pull away and get recharged, how much more do we need to? You know? They did a good thing. They were getting beat down. You come back where you can be restored. And they kind of gathered themselves, and now they're preparing to go forward again into a tougher situation than when they left. But you know, a lot of people talk about fear and things like that, and I have a philosophy about missions. I have a philosophy about, you know, like when I went to Kenya, I had people express concern over whether I'd be safe or not, or, you know, whatever, you know, what's the danger level and all that. And my reply is basically this: if you're in the will of God, you're just as safe. You're safer in the will of God than you are outside of it. And if you're in the will of God in Kenya or Nigeria or China, if you're there and you're in God's will, you are safer there than you are if you stay out of God's will and stay here because you're afraid or you're concerned or whatever. So the bottom line is you got to have a relationship with God so that you know that you are supposed to be there. And then you go without fear because God is your shield. He's your buckler. He's the one that's protecting you. And he is able. You know, his right hand does not fail. And so, yes, pray. Pray for these people. Pray for this family. Pray for the other families that are there that are facing these same challenges. Pray for those in Peru. I've been to Peru, and you know there's issues there. Pray for those in Nigeria. Pray for those in Africa. You know, they had a bombing there, you know, the other day in Nairobi. I believe it was pretty near the hotel we were staying at. So, you know, stuff's going on, folks. But God is able, but we need to pray. And it's a great privilege to carry the word of God to someone. And so we just need to be faithful about it. Pray for opportunities. And then when the opportunity comes, just share. And God is faithful. I'm going to have an invitation. So I always have one. No matter what the service. I don't know, we've been talking about, you know, reaching out to others and all that. There may be somebody here in this room right here. Maybe we don't even have to reach out to you because you are here. But I'm here to tell you there is a God that is good and loving, but he's also a God that is holy and just. And he knows you. He knows who you are. He knows what you've done. And I'm here to tell you, he loves you. And he loved you so much, he sent Jesus Christ, his only son, to come and die for you on the cross. Paid the price for your sin, my sin, the sin of the world. Paid the price. There had to be a sacrifice for sin. And you know what? Your sacrifice, my sacrifice, would not do. Why? Because we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And if Jesus hadn't come and done what he did, we would be without hope and there'd be no point of even coming here today. There'd be no point of even going to Africa. There'd be no point if Jesus had not come. But he did. He did come. And he came to pay the price for you and me and all the people everywhere. And there may be someone here, you may have never gone to God. You may have never asked him to forgive you. You may have never admitted to him that you deserve hell. You deserve punishment for your sin. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. You may think you're good, but you're not. You've done things wrong. All of us have. We are all in need of a Savior. And the Bible basically says, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You admit to God you're a sinner. You ask him to forgive you. You repent of your sin. You turn towards Christ. And you know what? He'll forgive you. And he'll adopt you into his family. He'll give you his Holy Spirit and place it within you. And you'll never be the same. And that's a good thing, folks. It's a good thing that we're not the same as we were. And that begins your journey with God. And from then on, he works in your life and makes you and works to conform you into the image of his son. And that's what this is about. And there may be someone here today, you have never done that. And you may have gone to church for 30 years and you may have never done that. But I'm going to give you an opportunity today. And for the rest of us, I don't know. You may have a need. There may be something going on in your life and it's heavy and it's hard. Maybe you just need prayer. Maybe you're burdened with the fact that maybe you've never led one person to the Lord. Maybe you have never given the gospel to one person. You've never had a person pray to receive Jesus. And maybe God's kind of burdening you about that. Well, do something about it. He'll do it. He'll work through you. Get prepared. That's why I have the Thursday night thing. I want people to be prepared. I want people to be comfortable, as comfortable as you can be, because it's a battle. But to be prepared and be able to share their faith. And maybe God's convicted you with that, and maybe you need to deal with Him on that level. Or maybe someone's here and they just got some other need, you know, that we haven't touched about, but maybe you're just burdened. This will be your time to get with God and make that right. So Kathy, if you'll come up and play. If I can have every head bow, every eye closed. I just want to give people an opportunity to just be real. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I have never gone to God and asked Him to forgive me. I've never admitted to Him I'm a sinner. I've never admitted that I needed Jesus. Anybody like that? I want to slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. Never admitted. Ask Jesus to save. Anybody like that? For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I need to grow some in the way that I witness to others. Anybody like that? I need to grow a little. I need to be a little more bold. I need to be a little more prepared. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I pray that you will pursue that. Heavenly Father, we come before you. And I lift up these ones that raise their hand. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you've pricked their spirit. You've brought something into their minds where they know they need to take some steps. Lord God, I pray you would give them courage. I pray, Lord, that they would just take that first step to get to improve themselves to the point where they would be able to share what you have done in their life. Lord God, I pray you'd move in the hearts and minds of all of us, Lord, that we would be more aware of our opportunities. So, Father God, even now, work on our hearts, Lord, as you see fit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This is your time, as Kathy plays. This is your time. You deal with God. If you need prayer with me, I'll pray with you. If you want to pray right there from your seat, you do so. But don't let this opportunity go by. This is your time. You deal with God. Heavenly Father, we come before you thankful for those that have gone into the harvest. Lord, I pray you would enable them, empower them, use them, Lord, in a mighty way to accomplish your will in those areas. Lord, give them wisdom to say what they need to say and the timing of when to say it, who to say it to, Lord. Give them strength and courage, Lord. Protect them. Protect their health. Protect their spiritual well-being, Lord. Guard their families, Lord God, and bring fruit to their lives as only You can do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.